4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
No, I'm pretty good. It's nice and cool outside and nice and cool in here, you know.
This is perfect.
Kind of summer I like, where, you know, 78 degrees is good.
Yeah.
I can even go 80.
There you go. 85?
Nah. I start getting angry at 85.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're getting a little crouchy?
I'm getting a little crouchy, and I think, what is this? What is this? Sahara Desert? I thought this was Oregon.
Oregon.
Well, thank you for listening out there. And if you have questions, I've got some answers. And you describe a situation with your shrubs, your trees, your lawn, your sprinkler, whatever. And or if you have a question on where to get something, I will be glad to answer. And the phone number is 673-4464. 673-4464. And if you happen to miss this live broadcast, you can go to 541radio.com and hear it. And I don't know what the combination to that one is.
541radio.com.
I said that.
Oh, you did? Boy, I got to wake up.
Well, I thought there was another thing that might go with it. You know, me and my computer skills are so advanced.
There is, but I think it'll lead you down the path.
Oh, down the path, right. I'm not going down that path, baby. But anyway, if you have a question, you know, like I say, regarding anything in your yard, something not looking so good, why not? You know, maybe I can figure it out right here. You tell me what it looks like and what you're doing to it, how you're watering or fertilizing or pruning or something like that, and maybe we can discern the problem right here on the air, and you can fix that puppy up. So that's good.
Be a good day to do that.
It would be. It's nice out there. Now, I have a little announcement to make here before we start show. I will not be here next Wednesday.
Oh, you won't?
No, so you're going to have to do it by yourself. So you've heard everything I've said for the last 20 years or whatever.
20.
So you can just kind of pick a sentence out of each year and go for it.
Go for there. No, go from there.
I'm having mouth surgery.
Oh.
Yeah, I probably won't be able to talk for a couple of years, but that's okay. Yeah. No, I got a
root canal or something?
Yeah, one of those, something like along those lines. Not quite. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I love that kind of stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Oh, geez Louise. But anyway, I won't be here next Wednesday. And, let me put it to you this way. Mm-hmm. I got to go under the knife there at 9 o'clock in the morning in Eugene. And if when I get out and if I can actually talk, I might come. But if I'm going to come, I'll let you know. But right now, don't count
on it.
It
doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might just go home and lay on
my brown
lawn.
There you go.
So
hang out and enjoy your works.
Yeah, I might do that. So, big question today is, do you like your yard?
Okay.
And a lot of people say, yeah, I really like my yard. And then some people say, well, you know, it could... And, you know, this and that. And then there are some folks say, I hate this stinking yard. You know, it's ugly and it's got too much stuff in it and I got to mow the brown grass. And
it's
too much
work.
Yeah, you know. I guess if you like your yard, is it a pleasant place to hang out on a summer day? You know, do you come home from work, wherever you're working, and late afternoon, early evening, and the sun's shining, you got a nice shady place to sit and have some iced tea or whatever, and barbecue a steak, you know, that kind of thing. You know, would you have a picnic in your yard? Is it that nice that you'd have the neighbors over and somebody else and just do a picnic thing? Say, hey, yeah, everybody bring the food. I'll supply the yard.
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
That works.
But, you know, if you're tired of it, looking like it's hot, dusty, and ugly, you might want to change it. You might want to do some things to it and make it into a haven, a personal haven that's cool and beautiful, a place that you can actually escape, actually kind of wind down from the day you had, wherever you're working or whatever you're doing or whoever you've confronted that day that's not so nice. and it's a place where you can escape, and it's quiet, it's shady, it's cool. Maybe you got a water feature going, And it's a place where, you know, nobody's going to bug you. Nobody's going to get on you. And don't have a phone out there either. Mm-hmm. Leave the cell phone in a house.
Turn it off.
That's right. Turn it off. And the good news is that you can have all this stuff, but you got to start now if you haven't started yet. Where do I start? I don't know what to do. Well, you know, first thing you do is use your imagination. And I've spoken about this in the past, you know. Try to picture in your mind the end result. Now, that means you got to kind of use your daydreaming mechanism there. And you sit on your chair and you're looking at this yard and saying, what do I do with this stinking mess? Well, you know, maybe a shade tree over there, and maybe a fruit tree over there, and maybe some rhododendrons over there. And how do I put it together? And, you know, What can I do? So you just have to picture it. You know, picture what you would like to have. Picture that it's all done and it's all nice, it's all clean, and it's neat, and it's easy maintenance on the top of that. So that's the picture you got to get. And if you can't get a vision of that in your mind, of the end result, then you got to do some homework. Homework can be any number of things, you know. Read some landscape books.
Would be fun homework.
Yeah. And because most of these, you know, from Sunset, and there's another one, I can't remember what the name of it is, but they have a group of books. They have, you know, how to build a fence, how to build a deck, how to landscape your yard, good plants to use, hardy plants. You know, I mean, there's a whole host of books, and the cool thing about it is they have a lot of color photos in there. So, you know, you're not just reading a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. looking at this.
You can actually see it.
Yeah, you actually see it, and you go, wow, yeah, how would that look in my backyard or my front yard? But, you know, that really looks good. I wonder what, and under the photo, they'll describe, you know, number one, they'll have the trees or the shrubs or whatever mm-hmm. numbered. And number one is a eucalyptus tree. Number two is a rhododendron. Number three is, and then it'll all be self-explanatory on the bottom of the photo. And then you take that picture, you know, you go through a lot of these pictures and maybe make a combination of the different pictures. But then you've got, if your imagination doesn't work toward plants and landscaping, once you've read through these books, you can begin to envision, hey, how's that going to fit in my yard?
Yeah.
You know, how can I make this work? Because, number one, it's going to be a nice place to just to get away from. And if I ever sell my home, this is really a number one eye catcher that if somebody walked in and looked out and said, wow, I love your backyard. You know, because I've experienced that with my first little home here in Roseburg. 600 square feet of old home.
And
rose bushes, but the yard was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Only took me 5 years to make it that way because I was, you know, starting my business at the same time.
Sure.
But, you know, it's you just do it and do it and do it. And when we did go to sell it, the first person that came to the door bought it, period.
And
all I said was, oh, what a beautiful yard. They didn't think much of the house, but they liked
the
yard.
They liked the yard.
So that's how that works.
So your hard work paid off.
Yes, I was hoping so.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're not into the book thing, do your internet thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, not everybody, but most folks have their little computer at home or
laptop,
their
whatever.
What do you call it?
Do they still call them laptops?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who cares? No, but the iPhones and you know, you can see all the photos in the world. I mean, the world is at your fingertips. I've seen people do it. And then when you've maybe got a basic education there, then talk to a professional with a good reputation. There are some professionals around here with a good reputation and that actually know plants, actually have design jobs, actually have installed what they've designed, and mm-hmm. actually have satisfied customers. I won't name anybody right now, but
I think I'm looking at one.
Well, maybe. Don't look at me too much. But and get their input. You know, you can get a consultation for $100, and the person will come over, ask you questions. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to have? Do you want a shady thing, or do you want it half and half, half sun, half shade? Do you like color? Do you like evergreens? Does it matter? And as you gather the information from, when I gather information from the client, then you begin to paint a word picture mm-hmm. about, hey, this is how it could look. And at mm-hmm. the end, the next step is you draw them up a plan and show them some pictures and, hey, this is how, where the maples go, and this is where the apple tree goes, and this is where the roadies go, and this is where the rose bushes go. And then they get that idea. Then they get that picture in their mind, and they can envision mm-hmm. at that point.
It could actually be.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do if you've never done it before. If you know, because there's a lot of yards. You didn't drive around Roseburg, and I had one up on Leland Street. You know, you wouldn't want to go in there for love nor money, because a dragon might jump out of the overgrown shrubs and eat you. Yeah. But you know, once you get it into shape, it's a whole different ballgame.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's actually pleasing to go home and say, yeah, I went from the worst landscaped place on the block to the best one. And it only took me 5 years.
The neighbors appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. They'd come over and ask me, what are you doing here? Why'd you cut that tree? Mm-hmm. Why'd you prune that one? You know, I had one guy across the street, old Harry Hill, used to own Hill's Shoe Shop. Mm-hmm. He was my cross-street neighbor. And I would prune something really hard and significant, just see what would happen. And he'd come over, you ruined that tree, Mike. Why'd you prune it so much? It's July. You're not supposed to prune in July. Well, I just want to see what happened, Harry. You know, and the next year the tree would be beautiful. You know, it'd be gorgeous, exactly the way I wanted it. And then he'd come over and say, "Yeah, I guess it didn't die. It looks pretty good."
Good job.
He was like my neighborhood mentor, if you will, because he had a beautiful yard. Mm. Yeah, you know, right. Mine was a dump, and he had a beautiful yard. I mean, it wasn't extravagant or anything, but it was neat and it was clean. Mm-hmm. Had a birch tree in the front, small lawn with a birch tree in the front, and you know, some flowers and azaleas and things like that. And actually, his wife took care of it. But they were great neighbors.
Yeah,
and you know, they did a really nice job. And but I passed him up. only took me a long time. That's all. But you know, when you're planning your own yard, don't. That's the other thing. Go down the block. If you see a nice yard and there's somebody working in it, ask them questions. You know, how does that grow? Where'd you get that? How big does it get? Does it need much water? How often do you got to mow it? You know, all those questions, try to get a feel for what they did and that you like what they did, and you're not going to replicate it exactly or anything, but
right.
What it does is it gets that idea machine in your mind going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process. It's not going to happen on a weekend. I mean, if it does, watch out. But,
yeah.
You know, over the span of, say, 6 months or so, while you're planning your job, hey, that's good. That's what you need to see.
Yeah.
Because then when you go plant shopping, you know halfway what you're looking for
mm-hmm.
and a little bit about the things that you learned in the neighborhood or by a guy that gives you a consultation. You go, oh yeah, I see how that would fit.
Mm-hmm.
I see how that would look. Yeah, that would look pretty nice in my yard.
More or less know what you're doing.
Yeah. Whoa, what a concept. Know what you're doing. Man, oh man. And you know, some of the questions you might ask yourself, do you want or need privacy? Do you want a big hedge between you and your neighbor mm-hmm. because you wanted a more private area? Okay, well, what kind of plants out there? What kind of trees or shrubs can you seal, you know, along your property line to keep out the neighbor's curiosity or the street noise or, you know, that kind of thing?
And we'll answer that question after the break.
Did I ask a question?
Yeah. I thought you did.
Yeah, well.
Maybe I'm, nah. We'll be right back.
I'll re-ask it.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on a good-looking Wednesday. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Nothing like a little competition.
Competition?
News Radio 1240 KQEN, and we were going to answer some questions.
Are we?
Yeah, what kind of hedge, or what do you want to keep the neighbors out with?
I thought you actually had a question on the air here that I was going to have to answer. Okay, so the question was, what do I do? How do I make my place private? What can I plant out there that would box me in, and I don't have to look at the world? I just look at my green little trees.
There's lots of types
of trees or shrubs that'll seal you off. And I could list them, and you might know some of them. But the most common one is like a arborvita. It's a tall, skinny evergreen, and people plant them too close together. And because they're small when they plant them, and say, oh, that's really cool. But then in 10 years when they turn brown because they're fighting for the water, and they're fighting for the nutrition and
the air,
and they're, 15 feet tall, and they've got their brown needles, is because they were planted too close. You could actually plant them 5 feet apart, and they'll still grow together. But some people would put them like 2 feet apart, some of them closer. And that's when they call me and say, my arborvitae are really bad. What's going on here? And I look at them, I go, geez, Louise. Holy moly. Okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
But like I say, if you can't, kind of get your imagination going, hire that consultant. Let them help you create your dream yard. Now, this is just the beginning of what's to come. So let's say you do you like the sound of water splashing into a pool of goldfish or Japanese koi? It's kind of, you sit on your patio and you got a little pond with a waterfall, and the water splashes, and it feels good. It just feels good all the way around. It's kind of relaxing.
Yeah.
Running water over rocks and things like that. And you can build it yourself, which is a lot of work to do it right, or have it built by somebody. Or there are self-contained waterfalls and pools with several small pools. They can be 6 feet, 7 feet tall. They're made out of fiberglass, and they're painted like rocks.
Okay.
They look like giant rocks, like real natural waterfalls. Mm-hmm. And, two people easily pick them up, put them in the back of your pickup, and take them home. And they got a little pump. They got the plugs. They got the pump. They got everything. And you just take them home. You put them where you want it. Plug it in. Fill it with water. Well, fill it with water first. Plug it in. And there it is.
Voila.
Wow. And then you can enhance it with some big old boulders just kind of around the surface of it, around the edges, and some ground covers, and maybe a weeping Japanese maple, fairly close to it. Mm-hmm. And you've created an atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it can be on the end of your deck or on the end of your patio. It just kind of gives you a little cool, neat area to hang out in. And get rid of the... Get rid of the stress out there that COVID and the boys are doing. So, but the lightweight ones, Coastal has them, the Co-op has them, and you go north to like Jerry's or something in Eugene. They have hundreds of them that you can choose from, little small ones. And now I saw one at the Co-op farm Co-op here 2 years ago, I guess it was maybe, and that puppy was huge. I mean, it was like first class. It was huge. It was
nice.
Tall. It was wide. It had several different waterfalls. I think it was about $3,000.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And that's include the pumps and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you got a big enough yard, it'd fit. And if you got the money to buy it, go for it, because it really makes a statement in your yard. The water is significant flow, so it's loud, and it runs 24/7, never stops. All my ponds at the nursery, I've got two ponds, one out front and back, and then I got one at my house. I never turn off the pumps, ever. 365 days a year they go, period.
How do they keep running without breaking down?
Well, I don't know, but they do. They're good little pumps. They're just little tiny things, too.
Huh.
And I've replaced the one at my house. I replaced it once, and it's been in 30 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's the ones at the nursery, I don't think I've ever replaced them. I can't remember replacing them. Maybe we did years ago, but they just keep pumping.
Pumping.
Yeah, keep on pumping, baby. And But that what is neat about that, it's the sound. It's the sound that well, that, you know, that waterfall is not complaining at me, is soothing me. It's making all my hassles from the day go away. And that's the kind of thing that you want to create in your backyard. It's very relaxing. So, or maybe how about a fire pit? Now, we just installed a fire pit at our last landscape job up here. Yeah. And it was a kit that they got from Willamette Greystone, and we put it together. My brother actually put it together and in a spot, and then we surrounded it with colorful rock, and then we put flagstone for kind of a flagstone patio in it. And it really looks neat, and the folks love it. And, you know, it's a place where you can take lawn chairs in a cool of an evening, mm-hmm. say in September, October, have a little fire going in there, and you're sitting around shooting a breeze, and nice. And it's just a pleasant kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so you can get something like that, and you can put it adjacent to your waterfall. I mean, not real close, but, you know, let's say within 15 feet, and you're in the middle, so you got the best of both worlds. You got fire and water.
And you in between.
And you in between, so you're either going to get drowned or burned to death. Depends on the wind.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, these kits are safe. They're easy to install. If you can put a puzzle together, you can put one of these together. And most box store garden centers, you can find one on display, so you can see, oh, that's what it's going to look like. And then you if you're shopping and you see this, and you just imagine, how's that going to look in my new landscape, in my new backyard that I want to create? Mm-hmm. And that's what gets you fired up, and you know, you can do that. Or if you want something more natural, which I did, and rustic, you go out on rock hunting trips and gather wild rocks and create your own.
That's fun in itself.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when we built our fire, well, when we were going to build our house years ago, and I wanted a stone fireplace. My kids were small. We had an old pickup truck, 56 Chevy pickup. We'd go up to Rock Creek and up to North Umpqua and Who Flung the Chunk Creek and camp. And the kids would pick up these pretty rocks. And every time we come back, we'd have not a pickup full of rocks, but mm-hmm. we'd have maybe 100 rocks, maybe 50 rocks, really cool rocks that they would hunt in the creek and look around. Yeah. And then those were our future fireplace rocks, and we'd take them out to our property and put them in a pile. Over about 2 years, maybe 3 year period, we collected 16 pickup loads of rock.
Wow.
And that's what my fireplace is made out of when we built the house.
Nice.
Yeah. And, you know, it was an adventure with your kids. Mm-hmm. You're either picnicking or camping or something like that. And, you know, with your eye on the future, what are you going to use that for? We can do the same thing with a fireplace, with a fire pit out in your backyard. Mm-hmm. You can go to a commercial rock pit, and they've got really pretty rocks, and then just some standard rocks, you know, riprap kind of material, gabion they call it. And you can make a fire pit out of that, or there's just all kinds of material. Yeah. You know, what you see is, I like that kind of rock. That's what I want to make my fireplace out of. And you can have a nice fire pit. And you just make it so that it can contain and not start any underground fires and stuff like that. And you're good to go. But that's only, you know, a part of it. So you got a water mm-hmm. feature, you've got privacy, you've got a fire pit, and so if you don't want a lawn to mow weekly, decorative gravel is a good substitute. You know, the little, you know, it's colored, mm-hmm. Tans and greens and blues and whites and stuff and reds, mm-hmm. you know, and you can get it at like Magnolia Farms, co-op, I'm sure there's some other place that I'm not even thinking of, but those are the two places I shop at when I want that kind of thing for a place. And it really jazzes up the yard, and you don't mow it, and you don't have to water it. You don't have to fertilize it.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It's just there.
It's there, and when it rains, it's really shiny and pretty, mm-hmm. you know? So
Even better.
And are we getting near commercial time, or are we okay?
Oh, we got a couple of minutes.
Okay. And there's several clients I've had over the years that were retired, and they wanted a pretty yard, but they gosh, you know, I don't want to go out there and mow, and I don't want to, you know, edge and fertilize and water and blah, blah, blah. I want rocks. That's okay. How about we do a base rock with inch round rock, and then we can, you know, splash some color rock in, because colored rock is very expensive in comparison. Mm-hmm. You know, the inch round rock, inch and a half round rock is like, say, oh gosh, I know, $30 a yard. I'm just guessing right now.
Right.
$30 a yard. Well, the other could be $100 a yard if you had it delivered, the prettier stuff.
That's quite the difference.
Yeah, so you use that sparingly. You get your base rock down, which is attractive enough, not spectacular, but attractive, mm-hmm. and it's the base rock. Then we've come in, and this one lady in green, her yard was flat, and so we built some natural rock planters, not very big, maybe 2 feet tall, filled them up with good soil, mm-hmm. put a nice plant in it, and kind of scattered them around on the rock area. You know, they were, you know, 20 feet apart or something, and no real discernible design, but just kind of random, so it's natural. Then we took red cinder rock, and we did a pathway system all the way through with the red cinder, and we just threw it on top, and, you know, kind of kept it about 2 feet, maybe 3 feet wide, mm-hmm. and a couple inches deep, right on top of the round rock. And what that did is kind of broke it up. When you stand back, you got these raised planters. You got your base rock, you got raised planters, then you got this really cool cinder, red cinder trail, kind of turning and twisting through all the raised planters.
Cool.
Which is good, yeah. It, all of a sudden, man, with rocks, you made something look cool. But to top it off, like the icing is, you get some of that fancy green or blue stuff, and which is the expensive stuff, but mm-hmm. you don't have to buy a lot of it, because here's what you're going to do. You're just going to kind of scatter it. You're going to splash it on. So here's your gray round rock with blue and green, what do I want to say? Highlights. Yeah, I knew there was a word. Highlights in it too, and it's not overwhelming, and it all blends, and it does not deteriorate. And hey, it looks good. It's simple, and there ain't no maintenance involved.
Nice. That's almost the best part.
I know. That's what they hired me to do. I don't want to do this maintenance.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
A couple of minutes on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Course News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Take this scenic tour to Myrtle Creek.
Yes.
We're back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, for a Wednesday afternoon, and every Wednesday about this time.
About this time, yeah, except next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, you're going to have
I might not be here, don't count on me. But if I show up, you can jump up and clap. How's that?
That.
No.
get you all set up with a clap.
Yeah, I got a root canal I got to do, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Fun stuff. So, maybe it's not that.
Well, good luck with that, my friend.
Well, thanks. Hopefully they'll make me unconscious and I'll wake up in, you know, my...
La-La land.
La-La land. Anyway, I was talking about, you know, the types of landscaping and the ideas. This is an idea show, you know. This is for you to think about, well, what can I do to my yard? That's what this show is always all about. So, you know, when I come here and tell you about different things, I'm trying to hit the broadest number of people that I can who are interested in landscaping, who are interested in improving their yard or or even getting one started. And so, and just because, you know, I say these things, there's even variations of what I say that may appeal to you. So, just like I say, open your mind up, open your imagination up, and go to town. And I was talking about the, you know, a rock garden, a rock landscape, where people who are sick and tired of mowing lawns and watering lawns and spending, you know, lots of money on their grass that's never green and it's got weeds in it. Well, hey, this rock thing is pretty good. You can do the same thing with bark mulch, but after a while you got to renew the bark, and weeds grow in bark pretty good. But rock, you know, weeds have a... There'll be some weeds that grow in a rock, but they're easier to pull out, and there's a lot less of them, and it's easier to spray them out. You know, bark mulch is pretty good stuff, actually, to grow anything. So that's why the weeds love it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I was saying in the last segment, you know, the gravel comes in, you know, sizes, many sizes, shapes, and colors. These days, you just go look around. There's, like I say, several different places that you can go see them. Magnolia Farms, Co-op, out there in Wilbur. The Cowboy Tree Service has some of those. They're all over the place anymore. Yeah. And it's a good idea. And again, you don't have to renew it every 5 years. It's good for a couple centuries at least until it breaks down. but it gives you a real different look. A real easy look, and it's not for laying on and, you know, catching rays or anything like that, but it...
Well, that would kind of hurt.
Yeah, kind of stick in your craw or something.
Yeah, or somewhere.
Yeah, and if you don't want to plant anything in the ground and raise planter or something like that in that particular location, you can use big, nice pots, either plastic or ceramic, and you just put the pots on the rocks wherever you want them, and then you can have a... You know, 5, 6, 7 pots in an area, and there they are. It's easy to maintain, and get a big enough pot. You put a plant in there, provided it's not a giant sequoia or redwood. You put a plant in there, and it's going to stay there for 10 or 15 years before you have to repot it or do anything else to it.
Yeah.
And that's when people say, "I want a low maintenance yard." Those are the kinds of things that make up a low maintenance yard. Now, the drawback of that kind of yard is. In the hot part of the summer, it is hot, and because the rocks absorb the heat, and then the sun goes down, but the rocks still have a certain amount of heat in them until like early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning when it finally really cools off. But then you start to process up. Whereas if it were a lawn, as soon as the lawn is green, and as soon as the sun goes down, you know, you turn on the water or whatever on your lawn, and it cools the whole place. So that's probably the only drawback I can come up with, is that it retains the heat, longer than what you might want. But that's only a month or two in the summer that something like that would occur.
Yeah.
And if you had a shade tree in there, that would help to keep the whole situation cool. It's what you want to achieve, the type of plants you like, your imagination, putting it together, and you know, you still have your table and chairs, and depends on the type of rock that you might install out there. If you did pea gravel and you level out the pea gravel, you can get a little round table with some chairs, and it fits. They don't rock back and forth, you know. Their pea gravel is very small, like the end of your little finger size, and it spreads easily, and it's relatively inexpensive, but not as cheap as regular gravel. But you say, well, I want a round circle 9 foot in diameter. I'm going to put one of these nice glass tables there with an umbrella in the middle.
There
and,
you go.
And, you know, four or five chairs, three or four chairs around it, and you've got a perfect spot. It ain't going anywhere. It's not sinking because it's on rock. And it's easy to clean. You can just take a hose to it and hose
true,
her off.
True. Know, it's outdoor.
In case you get too many potato chips on it or something. But, it's okay. That's good.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's going to soften the whole look of your gravel yard. Plants, different colored gravel, and some garden furniture. The large pots that I was talking about, they can contain small trees for many years. You can put a Japanese maple in a 36-inch diameter pot, and that's a lot of soil. And if you got a dwarf or a semi-dwarf type of Japanese maple, that's good for 15 years in that pot, as long as you take care of it.
Yeah.
And that could be because there's plenty of soil. And it's not going to grow real fast because it can't reach out, but it will. It's self-contained right in there. And
nice.
Yeah, if it gets to the point where it's getting too big, all you got to do is prune it back, and it's good to go.
All over
it's
again.
Still going. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of these. I've got some at the nursery that's been in 10 years in those plastic pots, and they're still. Kicking right along. They don't grow very fast because they don't have any room in the root system to grow because they're confined by the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps them small. So that's good. But the minute you repot them into the next size,
boom! We're free.
We're free indeed. You know, here we are. We can actually grow. And they will. But you also, not only small trees, but if you have smaller containers, you can plant them with azaleas or ornamental grasses, roses, perennials. Regular size roses will do well, and miniature roses will really do well in nice pots. And that's color all summer. It's easy to do. And then, like I say, it also gives you a little bit of coolness to your gravel garden or your gravel yard or your rock yard, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But anything that's that has the leaves and provides some shade, that's the essence of some coolness coming around. So. You know, this is like
it works
I said,
all the way around.
Yeah, and you can build planters for larger shade trees and out of big boulders, just kind of stacked together, and maybe a planter that's say 6 feet wide and 10 feet long, kind of an oval shape or a round shape.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. See that, and we've done that, and you know, you get some bigger boulders, going to cost you a few bucks, but you can have the company deliver them to you, and you got a 2-3 foot boulder. Well, maybe not a 3 foot, but you can get them. But a 2 foot boulder, and you can place it right there, and then fill that puppy up with good topsoil, and put a nice Japanese maple in there, or a fruit tree, whatever kind of tree. It doesn't matter, but you can have something big that's never going to be have to move for 100 years. You know, and it's a nice planter, and all around it you got space to plant tomatoes or peppers or marigolds or geraniums or anything else that's small that's not going to be in competition. Hey, it'll work. It'll do good. So, like I say, your imagination is your only limiting factor. If you can't imagine it, I guess you can't do it. But if you can start thinking about it and imagine it and try to picture it in your head, and
you got it made.
You got it made. And like I say, get advice, look at books, look at your internet thingy, and it'll give you plenty of advice. And there's hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of books on landscaping and landscape gardening and low maintenance kind of things. And the low maintenance, one thing I like about the low maintenance, it's not a big water user. And as more and more people inhabit the face of this earth and we get more and more dry winters, we're pretty low on water sometimes.
True.
And the hardier, plants that you can plant that don't need a whole lot of water to survive and care, the better off are too.
Yeah.
And again, that's a key to a low maintenance deal. So, graduating. Let's see what we got for time.
About a minute before
a
the
minute?
Break. Before the break.
Oh,
before the break.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a job that we just finished today. And
you want to take the break first?
Yeah, I'll take the break, and then we'll go to it.
All right, we'll be back. More Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. and a story about a job they just finished today. Next on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Local Talk at 4 today is Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. So how you doing over there, Mike?
Well, I'm still here. I haven't run out the door yet, so I knew we had another 10 minutes to go.
Well, you can tell us a story about a job.
Well, yeah, this job we finished. Yeah. First of all, these clients were some of the best I've ever
had. Oh, I thought you were going to say worse.
No. These folks were great. I'm not going to tell you the name. I'm not going to tell you the location. But, you know, when I in the last part of the show, I'm talking about using your imagination and asking the client what they try to achieve and what they would like to see. And, you know, what you have to do is bring them into the conversation. Don't say, well, I'm going to do this, and this. And don't let them give you any input. That's important. You don't want to do that kind of thing. But these guys were very open to what we were about. It's like a major makeover of a backyard. And I think we spent about a month there all together. Transforming it into the Garden of Eden, if you will. and at the beginning, it took a lot of days just to clean the area up of what was in there, you know, just to get down to the bare soil. There was rock, there was gravel. They had put in a drainage system, and there was a lot of rock we had to scrape out and move to another part of the yard where the rock was going to actually be. And before any of the real work could begin. But access on this project was, you know, tough because the house was in the way all the time. And it was on a little bit of a hill. And the driveway is very, you know, pretty steep. And everything was uphill. So all materials had to be, carried in by hand or with my little loader. And it was a good thing I have a small loader because I wouldn't have got around the tight corners and that kind of thing. But on top on top of all this, you know, daytime temperatures were high 80s, mid 90s. You know, very challenging project. You know, start early and try to quit early, but you can't. But our clients were so complimentary as the project proceeded, and the job was fun, even though it was hard. It was hard physical work. We couldn't get we had some of our small equipment in there, but you couldn't use a full size tractor or anything like that, and it wouldn't have helped anyway. But as I was preparing for the show today, I was sitting there in their backyard writing my notes about their yard. So, and like I said at the first part of the show, your imagination is your only limiting factor. So we created a dream yard that is beautiful and functional. Yeah, right. We installed an automatic sprinkler system, a sod lawn, built a fire pit area, planted a small orchard, put in a lot of colorful shrubs and perennials. And so what we did for these folks, we've created beauty. We've got a fruit orchard and fun with the fire pits and the patios and stuff all in one backyard. And their backyard, they are larger lots, so there was plenty of room. Excuse me, there was plenty of room to fit all this in, and it's kind of on two levels. One level, the bottom level, was even with the patio out the back, sliding doors, and then there was a retaining wall that the owners, in fact, themselves built, and then it went uphill from there to a back fence. So we had to kind of maneuver around things, and when you do that, it just takes more time and more energy and more effort. But
Keeps you on your toes.
Oh, yeah, it keeps you on your toes. But, you know, this was, when we first met, you know, there was lots of ideas were tossed around.
Sure.
And they talked about this and they talked about that. And if they tell me something, you know, oh, I'd like to see this. Well, you know, that's not going to work because of this, this, and this, and this. It's maybe it's a size thing, or maybe it would cause a hazard sometime down the road if a windstorm came along, or, you know, but you give the client an opportunity to interject their thoughts. And then if they work, say, hey, yeah, we could probably work that in, or no, that's not going to work because it would be, you know, way too big for that area, or it's not hardy enough, or, you know, because a lot of these folks we meet come from different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And they're new to Douglas County, new to Oregon, and they don't know what the climate's going to be. I don't even know what the climate's going to be anymore, but, you know, yeah.
True. Yeah.
You know, Snowmageddon, you ever remember that? You know, okay. Yeah. But that's what, like I say, the planning process is all about. And it's fun, you know. And even, you know, we thought it was planned, you know, we changed a few things to make it better as we went along. And that's what makes a fun job, because the client was open to that. Said, well, I thought you were going to do this. And yeah, we thought so too. But you know what? This looks better. What do you think? Oh, yeah, I like that a lot better. So bingo. And it's communication. And so once you have a plan, don't think it's static. You know, be open to any new ideas that come along, if it fits in the overall scheme. Maybe you got a scheme about, this is kind of how I want it to flow, this is how I want it to look. But don't hesitate to be flexible.
It's not carved in stone, so to speak.
Bingo, that's a good term. That's a good one, yeah. And always, you know, keep in mind when you're selecting plants that they do grow and increase in size every year. So, again, how many times have I said this? Don't plant too many too close together, okay?
Or water it too much.
I mean, if nobody's heard anything else, I hope they heard those three things over the years. You know, you can kill them from overwatering, and you can kill them from planting too close, or you can, you know, especially if up against the house or something, and they're 2 feet from the house, and they're 9 feet tall and 7 feet wide, and you go, what did I do that for? Because it was real small when you put it in.
Yeah.
It looked real cute, and you had this 2 foot bed, and you put 19 of them in there in a row.
Yeah,
and not so good. That's why education is a real big part of this whole process.
The root of the solution.
Yes. Hey, that's good. Man, you're quite a philosopher today. That's good. Oh, gosh. But again, like I say, don't plant too much too close, okay? You can always add more. You know, you can have some, instead of 19 of them, you put 5 in this planting bed. And you say, well, they're too far apart and they're too small and I can hardly see them. Well, just wait a while. 2 years from now, you won't be thinking that thing. But if you still got a lot of space in between, you can get something to fill the gap. Whether it's annuals or perennials or some kind of a color item, or maybe just a smaller shrub to fill the gap. And it's not going to overcome or overwhelm. That's it. You run me out of time?
Yep.
I
had
8 more pages of notes.
Well, good luck on your surgery next week.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hate that. No. I hate the thought.
Don't envy you at all.
I've had a few little things like that. Nothing major, but, you know, a hernia here and there, but you know, they give you enough drugs, no problem.
All right, take care. It's 5 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.